We'll hear from the Hannah family again in just a few moments, but we're thankful indeed for their ministry already to us. It is good to see so many out this evening, and we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. To those joining us online, we bid you welcome also and pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of us as we come together in this hour. Do remember the programme for the week ahead in the assembly here. Tomorrow evening sees the meeting of the Salt Group for their monthly meeting at 8 p.m. And then on Tuesday at 8 p.m. is the Bible class once more as we come to Isaiah and the chapter 7. The Thursday at 8 p.m. for the assembly prayer meeting, and it continues, of course, a little series that we're having with some of the young men at the fellowship, and so this week we're expecting two speakers, even from the 16 to 25-year-old age group. And then on Friday at 10 a.m. for Mums and Tots, 3:30 for the Silver Threads, where Raymond Kidd and Michael Hewitt will be coming along to present the work of CMI 8 and other updates also. And then 6:45 for the Good News Club and 8:15 for the BYF. Do be praying for each of these meetings in the will of the Lord. Saturday, 2 p.m, sees the outreach team in the streets of the town once more. And be faithful in praying week after week for those who take the gospel onto the streets of our town. Just a few notices to bring to you. There was quite a lot this morning, so we're going to cut half of them for this evening. So if you want to get them in their entirety, then watch back this morning. But nevertheless, we've mentioned, of course, the baptism service. I do want to keep emphasizing that. And it's planned for Sunday, the 12th of March, in the 7 p.m. hour. And so be praying for that. And if the Lord is working in your heart in regards to the matters of baptism, and then speak to any of the elders as a matter of due course, please. And then, of course, we announced this morning the special week of meetings that our brother Nuri Emerson is having in Ardmore Gospel Hall, and it continues each of the weeknights this incoming week at 8 o'clock to 9 p.m., and that's a series in the Kingdom Parables in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 13. Our brother Everett has asked us to announce a meeting that's organized by Vermore Independent Methodist. It's going to be held in Vermore CWU Hall this coming Saturday evening at 7:30. It's a praise night. It'll include various forms of singing, both congregational and soloists, and then Denver, Lynn, Anna, and Jessica are taking part as well, and so be praying for them. But if you're free and available on Saturday evening, then you're more than welcome to join the folks there in Vermore. And it's once more, it'll be held in the CWU Hall at 7:30. Many of you know, of course, we had a members' meeting this morning. As part of that, we informed the members that as elders, we have come to the decision that there will be no change to our 7 p.m. gospel service time. And so that will continue to be observed in its regular pattern. And so there will be no change to our 7 p.m. gospel service time. We're thankful for all who were willing to be so obliging as to take part in that trial period. But it is the decision at this time not to proceed with any change with that matter. Before we hear from the Hannah family again, we'll sing together, "What love could remember, no wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum." We'll stand at your feet to sing together, please. family to come again to us.
This next piece we're going to sing, it's one of the first songs we ever sang together as a group. It's entitled, There Is One Who Was Willing. You know, we love to sing the old hymns. We love to sing the hymns with lots of truth about God's salvation in them, about heaven and about eternity, and about how you need to be saved and ready. Listen to this next piece as we sing it, about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was willing to go and to die on the cross that you might have salvation.
The book of Revelation in the chapter 21, please, this evening. The book of Revelation in the chapter 21. Can I thank the Hannah family again for their ministry and song to us. This evening we continue to just step away from our series of the Gospel through the Scriptures. And we come to consider just a little phrase, as it were, that's found in this passage. It's evolved into a message over the last number of weeks in my heart. And I believe that it answers some of the queries and the questions that some, even amongst us, ask in regards to the matter of salvation. And so tonight I pray that even as we hear the word of the Lord, that there will be even that help given from the Lord. The book of Revelation, the chapter 21, in the verse 1, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Come down to verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Ending our reading there at the verse 27. As we come to this passage, we are allowed a glimpse into that prepared place. For the Bible describes here for us that place which is termed the New Jerusalem, the city of God. And as the Apostle John is allowed even this privilege of beholding that which is prepared and that which truly our eyes shall one day see, all who know and who love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, this is our expectation, this is our hope, this is our home. And coming to it this evening, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ himself makes abundantly clear that there is but one way into this city. There is only one sure and certain way that you might know what it is to enter into all that is prepared. The Bible makes it very clear here in this passage in verse 12 when it speaks of a wall that is great and high. It's testifying to us that as those who would desire to come in arrive, as it were, at the very surrounds of the city, they behold a great wall that is high and great, and immediately are reminded that there is but one way into heaven. It is a God-appointed way. No one shall be able to climb over the wall. No one shall be able to engineer their own way into that heavenly city. No one can enter that prepared place except they come the revealed way. The Bible then makes it very clear to us that the way into the city is by the 12 gates that are described for us in the verse 13. For the Bible describes on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. We've already been told of these gates in the verse 12. We're reminded there that at the entrance of each of these gates there stands an angel. One who is charged with the responsibility of ensuring that all those who come in and go out from those gates are not anything that defiles or anyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to the verse 27. And so jealously guarded are the entrances to the city which God has prepared. Jealously guarded are these 3 gates in the north, the east, the west, and the south. And it's all to remind us of the severity with which God will deal with sin. For there is absolutely no room nor entrance given to those who have not received of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It reminds us of the holiness of the place. It reminds us of the purity of the place. It reminds us indeed of not only the truth that this is a prepared city, but it is, of course, for a prepared people. For those who have received forgiveness of sin. For those who have known that imputation of Christ's righteousness to their account. To those whose names are recorded in the very Lamb's Book of Life we see mentioned here. This imagery of the 12 gates is in keeping with the preaching of our Lord. For in the Sermon on the Mount recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 7, the Lord depicts 2 gates in his sermon. One of these gates is described for us as being wide, and the other is, of course, described for us as being narrow. The wide entrance is that gate that leads to destruction, damnation. Its description as being wide testifies to the many, many who choose this way, who refuse to heed the warnings of Scripture, who refuse to come the revealed and appointed way. And entering into the wide gate, they enter in not to the city that we see described here in Revelation in the chapter 21, but rather we see, of course, that they enter into what is given to us there at the end of verse 8 in the chapter 21 of Revelation, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, the second death. The narrow one is the entrance to life. It's the path that leads to this eternal home. And being depicted as narrow, it testifies to the relatively few in number who choose this gate, who come this way. And so the gates of heaven are important. The gates of heaven are significant. They are that which affords entrance so that the redeemed might enjoy that which has been laid up for them. That which is their eternal reward. I want to consider these gates for just a few moments tonight. For I believe there are amongst us those who have questions. Have questions as to how they can enter in. As questions as to if they ever could enter in. I believe that the very depiction of these gates as given to us in the verse 13 communicates answers to all of the questions that arise when we consider our heavenly home. You'll notice, of course, they're 12 in number. But appropriately stationed on the east and the north and the south and the west. Allowing entrance from every area. Allowing entrance from all across even the very globe itself. But a lying entrance, I also suggest to you, from the very many varied experiences of life. The three gates in the east speak to me of those who know what it is to prepare for heaven early in life. We are reminded, of course, that the sun that rises in the east. And so from the east there come a great company of people who have known from a child, just like Timothy, the Holy Scriptures. They've known the truth of coming unto Jesus and hearing those words, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Reminding us, of course, of the truth that a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. And tonight there are children amongst us. Tonight there are young people amongst us. And tonight there are children and young people who week after week are confronted with the truth of the gospel. They are reminded of the simplicity of the gospel. How that it revealed in the words of Scripture, God communicates this message that we are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That from the very earliest days of our lives, we are not only those who are born in sin, but we are also those who choose to sin. We break the very law and commands of God. And because of that sin, we stand outside of God's acceptance. We cannot find our place in heaven. Why? Because we are under a sentence of condemnation and wrath, because God cannot abide that which is unholy. He cannot receive that which is unholy. And so in Scripture it testifies also of one who came to meet our need. One who came to make a way. And that person is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in coming into this world, He paid a price of His very own life in order to take our sin away. Tonight the gospel is clear. Tonight the gospel is simple. That if you come and repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone for salvation, then you will know a welcome through the very gates of heaven one day. And I wonder tonight, is there a child who has heard the gospel, who has begun even within their own heart to identify a stirring, a yearning, a working of the Spirit, and tonight you have a question as to whether God can save you despite the infancy of your years? And the answer is yes, abundantly yes. He's able to save you tonight. He's able to save you right now. And tonight He says, even through the preaching of the gospel once more, He says, suffer, that means allow, permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Because I died for little ones just like them. The Bible depicts not only three gates on the east, testifying, I believe, of those who come to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in the infancy of their years, but it also depicts for us three gates in the north. The north wind is that which blows the harshest. It's that which feels the most bitter. And in life, there are those who sample the very excesses of this world. And who hear a gospel message preached, but yet in the past, there is a great litany of sin that has been indulged in. And they sit and they hear and understand even the gospel as it's proclaimed, and they identify their need in light of the gospel, but yet in their heart they think and ask the question, could God ever save someone like me? I'm marred and I'm scarred and I'm broken from the things of this world. I've lived a life that has been far removed from the Word of God and far removed from anyone who would be desiring to keep His law. I've indulged in the things of this world. I've tasted of the things of this time and I've enjoyed them for a season. But here I am broken and here I am exposed in the light of the gospel. But yet through it all, I struggle to understand that despite all of the truth that is revealed, whether God could save someone like me. But yet Mark's gospel in chapter 5 proclaims this message. They came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. He cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And when they came to Jesus, they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. If there was ever an individual in the whole of Gadara that men and women could have said could never be saved, this was the man. They tried to tame him. They tried to hold him down. They tried to take care of the problems that persisted and plagued him throughout the days of his life. But yet time after time, there he was, consistently tormented by the things of the devil, consistently bearing the marks in his own body of the sin that was within him. But yet when he came to face with the Savior, he knew a freedom and a release from all that sin. And the man who was simply described as one who, I would suggest to you, in the minds of others, was one who impossible to be saved. Nevertheless, the testimony was that he was at the feet of Jesus, sitting clothed and in his right mind. His life was forever changed. And the bitterness of the experiences of the past had gone and gone forever. He was now a new person. A new creature. He had a new destination. And I tell you tonight that the gates of the city that sit on the north side of the city, they represent to us those who come through many hardships and trials and storms and temptations. Those who come with a path that is littered by the things of time and littered with their failures and their faults and their failings. God says, though your sins they be many, my mercy is more. And even those who are hell-bent on getting the very most out of this world and indulging with as much as they can and in as much as they can, the Word of God proclaims there is salvation available tonight. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And the south wind is the fairest. It's that which truly warms the back and is pleasant to feel and to be in a knowledge of. And so in all of this we are reminded that even from amongst those who have it easy in life and who do not indulge in the things of this world, who do not indulge in the things of this time, who do not bear the marks and the stains and the scars of sin as others do, yet God is able to set them free. God is able to deliver them. God is able to save them. The picture of this in the gospel surely is seen in the life of Nathanael. The Bible describes how that Jesus called him through, of course, as he sat there under the fig tree, and he says, "When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." He wasn't living a life of indulgence. The picture painted off him is one of calmness and one of tranquility. But nevertheless, he was also one who needed to come to the Lord. He was one who needed to let go of the things of time. He was one who needed to let go of all that was near and dear to him. And he was one who needed to find his place before the Savior and to heed the call to follow after me. I tell you tonight, no matter how good a life you've lived, no matter how noble your attempts have been to be upstanding and all of your deeds and in all of your ways and in all of your labors, if you have not repented of your sin and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then you still need to be saved. There's no other way into heaven except through the gate. There's no other way that you might know what it is to enter into that place that's prepared except you come the revealed way. There's no other way that you can enter into the city except you come the God-appointed way. And so in the east there's three gates, in the north there's three gates, in the south there's three gates. And then the verse ends with the testimony of the three gates in the west. And that testifies to me of the opportunity of those who are later in life to come to the Lord also. There are many who sit week after week and time after time in churches like this. And they hear the truth of the gospel proclaimed. Hear described to them that place called heaven. And within their hearts, no doubt, is a question as to whether or not that they can ever find their place in that city, having spurned the invitations over many long years. There are even those who feel that because they said no in previous years or on previous occasions, that somehow they can't find their place in that city. That God won't save their souls, that He won't hear their cry, that for them the opportunity has been missed. And they no longer can prepare even for that city that's depicted for or described for us here in this chapter 21. But I believe with all of my heart that there is opportunity still to believe for those who are later in years. for those with whom the Spirit of God is still moving and still working. For those with whom the Lord is permitting even that opportunity to hear time after time, meeting after meeting, to the truth, the simple truth. That salvation is available for all who will believe. That if you will but confess of your sin, believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, then you too can be ready for heaven and can enter in. And I tell you tonight that if that is a thought that goes round in your mind, if it circulates through even the quiet hours of the night, and as you rehearse all of the truth that you've heard time after time, year after year, and yet still come to that conclusion, you're being lied to by the very devil himself, because there is an opportunity to believe tonight. Jesus stands ready to forgive. He stands ready with arms extended to receive. And he stands ready to welcome you home. But tonight you must confess of your sin. Believe in your heart. Tonight you must come that God-appointed way. City, the gates are always open. The Bible tells us the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Tonight is another opportunity for you to prepare for that city. Whether you be early in life, the east gates are open. Whether you be one who sits with a past that is marred by sin and by your indulgence in sin, the north gates are open. Whether you be one who has placed your confidence upon the good works and the good character and the outstanding and upstanding way that you've sought to live, the south gates are still open. Tonight, if you be later on in life, having heard the gospel many times, yet still outside of Christ, then praise his holy name, the west gates are open too. And all may enter in. But you must respond to the call. You must accept the invitation. You must believe the gospel. You must settle the matter of your eternal destiny before it's too late. Before you tonight is a narrow gate that leadeth unto the city, and before you tonight, on the other hand, is a wide gate that leadeth to destruction, and the choice is up to you. God says in verse 7, to him that overcometh, he shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the promise of God tonight. If you come believing, if you come Christ receiving, then for you there's a place in the family of God. For you there's an entrance into the eternal city. For you, there's a reservation made in that prepared place. But will you come? Will you enter in the narrow way and believe in him who is the way, the truth, and the life? who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear. We stand to our feet to sing.